lessons of courage in the life of faith. And certainly Joshua is a name synonymous with courage. Here's a man that we revere because of his faith in God, how he had the audacity to believe that God would do what he said he was going to do. It's really what defines courageous faith. So I want to encourage us to have that kind of faith that Joshua had, this ordinary person. He became extraordinary by his courageous faith. And he has lessons that he can teach us about this life that we need to live. I think you would agree. I need that kind of faith. I do. I trust you also need it, because every day that faith is being put to the test. Are we going to be courageous or are we going to be cowardly? I'm not sure that there's much middle ground there. I think we're either one or the other. So what are some of the lessons? We've looked at a number of lessons so far, but we're going to look at some lessons here of courageous faith. And the first is the lesson of a foe defeated. Again, this was something that had to be understood and really had to be appropriated by faith. The fact that the foe was already defeated. And the foe, in this case, of course, was Jericho. A very formidable city, one of the great fortress cities of the world of that day. Some would say that's impossible. There was a great high wall in that city. And these were just people who had been in the wilderness for 40 years. They had some weapons, but certainly not weapons to compare with the weapons of the enemy. Now, I want to hasten to say that we're not called in the Bible to kill our enemies. I know this is troubling to some as they read these things and they think, well, this is bloody. It had to have been bloody. It had to have been, tragic that this whole city was basically wiped off the face of the map. Is God that kind of God that he wants us to take judgment, take vengeance on our enemies? Well, I think that we are mistaken if we draw that conclusion. Jesus said that if we're to no longer be governed by an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, if someone strikes us, we are to strike them back, that we are to be belligerent people. We're not to be belligerent people. I think what the Bible says about this is the things that were written aforetime, that means in the Bible, are written for our learning. And so there are lessons here that I think God has for us today. Now, I think in this case, if we knew the kind of city that Jericho was, the wicked city, Rahab was probably the best of that city. Now, that'll tell you something. Rahab the harlot was the best because she had faith. I'm not sure she was the best moral person, but it tells you what kind of a moral climate there was there in Jericho and why God decreed that this city must be wiped out, like Sodom and Gomorrah. So really the vengeance came from God. And God's people were just the instruments of God's vengeance in this case. But I want us to think about the foe defeated. What lessons can we learn about the foe? Well, first of all, there's a judgment that God has given. Here it says that Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. And I've wondered, it's pretty obvious why that was. The people of Jericho, the leaders of that city, looked out and they saw this great, it was probably 2 or 3 million people, many believe, that were gathered there on the plains of Jericho nearby. And they were afraid of what could happen. So they shut up the city. And it says no one went out and no one came in. And it just tells me that the enemy already knows that he's defeated. Now, in the case of the Christian, it's the devil. And someone has said that the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his or her knees. And I want us just to think about that. Think about what the Bible says about the devil already being defeated. He knows that he's defeated. He knows that his time is short. And we are not to fear him. We are rather to go forward and to obey God's word. We are to possess this land, this world, really, for Christ and his kingdom. Secondly, there's the lesson of an indictment. And in verse 2, it says that the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." And we talked about the kind of city that Jericho was. I think much like Sodom and Gomorrah, a wicked city. And God had passed judgment upon that city. Just as Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven," and spoke of how his time is short and how he's like a roaring lion, though, seeking whom he may devour. But he knows that his time is short. And so, have you read the Bible? Have you read the last chapter that talks about how God is going to win the victory in the end? And how the devil and his angels and those who follow him are going to be cast into the lake of fire? I'm not sure as Christians we are to delight in that. I don't think there's any delight in that. The delight is in knowing that God is going to be faithful to his word. And God is going to give us the victory. God is going to allow us to not only have victory in this life, but to take us to heaven and to be there forever with the Lord. An armament. Now, the armament of the city there, I think there was armament. I mean, this was a great city. This was a city with a lot of armed defenders that could fend off any foe, they thought. And it speaks, I believe, of the hosts that are with the devil, how he wants to defeat us, how he wants to make us cower in fear. I kind of like to place myself in the camp of the Israelites. Wouldn't you like to do this, kind of be in there, to listen, to be a kind of fly on the wall, to kind of listen to the conversations, and to know what was really going on in the minds of the Israelite people? Well, I'm sure that if you could do that, you probably would have heard a few discouraging words. Someone saying like, "Well, you know, this is what Joshua says. We're not sure that's a very wise thing to do." No, I'm not sure that 100% of the Israelite people were behind Joshua to start with. I think there were probably those thinking, "Well, you know, Joshua's, you know, we'll give him this one chance. If this doesn't work out, he's going to be history. We're going to have to elect somebody else." But again, I think it shows the courage of faith that Joshua said, "This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says to do. This is what the Lord says is going to happen if we obey him." Now, they had already, of course, 40 years before crossed the Red Sea. Some of them, all of that generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, didn't remember that, weren't around. But they were around when the Jordan River was parted. Remember that a couple weeks ago? We looked at that. So God gives us these encouragements to faith, to know that the foe is going to be defeated. Will we follow? Will we obey? Will we obey our Joshua, who's really Jesus, a type of Jesus here? A faith demonstrated. I want us to think about how faith must be demonstrated if it is faith. Now, I suppose we could say, "Well, no, I believe theoretically that's going to happen. I believe that if you want to live that way, well, it's probably good for you. But for me, I'm going to go by what I can see, what I can decide in my rational intellect is the right thing to do." Well, that's not faith. Faith has to be demonstrated. And I see that there in verse 6, where it says, "Joshua said to the priests, 'Take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord.' And he ordered the people, 'Advance, march around the city.'" So there's a leadership here of faith. And they followed the leader. The Israelites did. And Jesus is our leader. The Bible says he is the captain of our salvation. Now, Joshua didn't have Jesus, but he had the Word of God. I think it was Jesus. It was Jesus. There was Jesus in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord is really the pre-incarnate Christ. And so these things were really what would teach us to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have courageous faith. Again, God, do you have those things in your life that you are fearful about? I just want you to think about that for a moment. Think about the things that you fear. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's sharing your faith, and you're not very good at sharing your faith, and you're afraid. frankly. You're afraid that people will misunderstand, that people will even hate you for doing that. Many things, I think, will come to mind as we think about that. Well, we need leadership. It's why God has given us leaders, that we might be encouraged by their faith. And we need to be leaders ourselves in this area of faith. We need to demonstrate faith so that others will be encouraged to have faith. I'm sort of a sports fan. I like to watch sports sometimes. I used to be more of a fanatic about that than I am now, but I've noticed that the team that has someone on the team that's just, that believes that they can win, that they can survive all opposition and pitfalls and things that may happen to that team to try to divide it and to make it ineffective, unless the team has someone like that, that team is not going to survive. It's not going to prosper. But we are on the winning team. We have Jesus to encourage us in leadership and in discipleship. A disciple is one who follows his leader. And I want to encourage us to follow the leader, Jesus, our Joshua, to believe that he is not going to let us down, that he's not going to disappoint us as we go forward. And is that not what defines a disciple? If you know anything about discipleship in the New Testament, you know that those who followed Jesus forsook all and followed him. Forsaking all, I take him, spells faith. It's really what defines this courageous faith that we're talking about here this morning. Now, where does that begin? Well, it begins at the foot of the cross. When we recognize that we're not able in our own strength to deal with the problems and the situations that we're faced with, and we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that our sins put him on Calvary, that he died there for us. Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you invited him into your life? That's where discipleship begins. And then fellowship. There's lessons of fellowship here as they work together. Now, it says that they didn't raise their voices, but I'm sure that they looked at one another. There were probably some quiet conversations that took place, if you can have a quiet conversation with the trumpets blaring. But certainly they looked at one another. They kind of winked with a knowing, well, I believe that God is going to do what he said through Joshua, that he's going to do. Fellowship. Well, isn't that why we're here this morning? To encourage one another. I trust that you're encouraged. Go to the Word of God. Believe what God has written in his Word. Has he failed you yet? Look at all the problems that I have. Look at all the trials. Look at all the sorrows. But is not Jesus the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? Put your trust in him. He understands. And there's a fall delivered. The lesson of a fall delivered. We're looking here at Jericho in particular, but I think of what Jesus said about Satan when he said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And I think what he was speaking of was certainly his coming to the earth, the devil. But the fact that he fell, speaking of his future doom, his future judgment, his judgment which is present, that the carrying out of that sentence is yet future. So we still have the enemy to deal with. The position, that city looked formidable. It looked like it couldn't fall. Again, put yourself in that crowd of people that went around, marched around the city. Just try to picture yourself there. Would I believe that what God said through Joshua was going to happen? Now, he didn't really speak with that maybe directly to you. Do I believe that what God has said in his word is going to happen? And then, prostration. Well, of course, the prostration of the city. How God caused those walls to fall flat. When they shouted. Do you think that was a shout, kind of a timid shout, or a kind of a, well, you know, let's shout if nothing happens. We'll shout again. We'll shout a little louder. I don't think so. I don't think that would be faith. They shouted with apparently all their energy, all their might. And the walls fell flat. Now, they didn't fall flat because of the loud shout. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. I have heard of bridges that have collapsed by troops walking across the bridge, and that sets up these vibrations. So there's probably some theory like that, that, you know, the shout is what kind of made those walls start to crumble, and once they started crumbling, then they fell. I don't really believe that. I think God caused those walls to fall because the people had faith enough to believe in this kind of a ridiculous plan. I mean, isn't it kind of ridiculous when you think of it? I mean, who would think that up? Except some crazy person, perhaps. And yet they believed what God said in His Word would happen. And they shouted in faith, and the walls fell. And there was a possession. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 17, it speaks in prophecy of the Israelite people that they would possess the gates of their enemies. And I really believe that that's a promise that God has given to us as the church of Jesus Christ. I think of what Jesus said in the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." I want to just encourage you to put your trust in Him. If you've never invited Him into your life, would you invite Him to come into your life? Take that step of faith by joining this band of believers that are marching to Zion, marching forward in courageous faith.